hard as I want on some things, because that's not what God always wants. And one Sunday, the Lord gave me a message, and then he finally said, I want you to preach whatever you'd preach if this is your last message. And he said, I'm not going to tell you what to preach, so you preach what you'd preach. And that was the most rip-roaringest, meanest message, like the pulpit on fire sermon you ever heard in your life. But I feel very deeply, but sometimes it's easy to preach like this in some places, in the mission field and other places. Americans just kind of go. I was teaching in Bible college on this about 3 weeks ago, a month ago, and boy, I was just fired up about it. I liked it, but I've been right in the middle of these series on strongholds. I haven't gotten to it. And then I preached a little bit more, or taught a little more on it in Bible college. I'm teaching the life of Paul. Last week or week and a half ago, I got to teach the last half of it. And finally, the Lord said, I get to preach it. And so I was excited this week to be able to preach this message. And 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. What are we described as in this verse? Soldiers. They're described as a soldier. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth. So now we're seeing the spiritual life is pictured as a war, and we are soldiers. Hope I haven't lost anybody yet. Entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Twice you're called a soldier. It says you're in a war. And if you go forward to chapter 4, it says, verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap themselves teachers, having itching ears. If I'm seeing that verse right, there will come a point where people don't want to hear the truth anymore. They'll heap them teachers who say what they want to say. If that were true, then I guess at the end times, the biggest churches may not be the best churches. Might be the case toward the end, because they will want to hear what they want to hear. And then in verse 4, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I was preaching at a different church, and he was a good guy, and he was saying, what do you think about this subject? And I said, well, I don't have super strong feelings on it, but he did. And so he said, well, let me show what I think. And I said, all right, just show me out of the Bible. And he started sharing with me, and I said, I don't care what's right as long as it's the Bible. I don't care. And he says, you know, that's really surprising because you've been in the ministry long enough, you're kind of set. I said, I don't care. I don't care what the Bible says. The Bible says that Jehovah's Witnesses are right, I'll be a Jehovah's Witness. The Bible says that there's three gods, or the Bible says there's four ways to heaven. It doesn't matter to me. I just want to do what the Bible says. I'm not stuck in anything. I have no denomination to tell me what to do. I don't care if you tell me anything. I'll put it in the file and appreciate your counsel. And if I don't think it's biblical, I don't care. I just want to follow the Bible. And it's pretty simple. And we keep it pretty simple there. And he says, very surprising you still you still want to do that. But I don't want to be one of these people who say, you know what, I believe the Bible, and the Bible says this, so don't tell me anything otherwise. I want to be believe what the Bible says, no matter who says it, no matter what is right, as long as it's the Bible. And I don't want to have itching ears, just want to hear what I want to hear. Verse 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Notice the word endure there. Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, for I am now ready to be offered, and my time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Again, there's the fighting thing. You notice in verse 3 of chapter 2, it said, therefore endure hardness. And then here we see in verse 5 of chapter 4, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. I think sometimes people think that when you serve God and you're a good Christian, that afflictions avoid you. But the Bible doesn't say that. And I think sometimes we read the Bible and think it says overcome afflictions, but it doesn't say that. The Bible says endure afflictions. That means you just take it. By all means. You endure it. Well, how do you get out of it? Sometimes you don't. You just go through hard times. And if you're serving God, as in these two verses here, you're a soldier, you just go through hard times. If you read the history of war at all, you'll find out soldiers sometimes, there's no way out of the hard time. They're in a steamy jungle, and it's really tough, and they're crawling, and they're in mud, and they got wounds, and being a soldier is not an easy thing. When I signed that line, they didn't tell me I was going to get dirty and it would hurt and it'd be hard. Well, somebody should have told you that at the recruiting station. But being a soldier is hard work. Especially in war nowadays, understand it's a little different. You can push a button and somebody 300 miles away blows up. That's a little easier. But in time when it's face-to-face fighting with swords this time, that's hard work. And that's bloody and tough and painful. And it says endure affliction. Paul said, and the title of the message is, Paul said, let's go on another missions trip. Let's go on another missions trip. And enduring hardness. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the chance to preach it, Lord. It's a wonderful book, Lord. And I thank you that it proves so true for Christians, Lord. In every way, Lord, it comes true. And in every way, it's right. And Lord, we see this in this thing. Yet many people, not understanding this fundamental truth of the Bible, cannot be good Christians for very long. And cannot be great Christians ever. And I pray tonight that you would show us how to endure and learn these lessons from Paul and get some great truth from your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul wrote this, and Paul is wrote this. He was a man who knew how to endure hardness. We can take it back to the book of Acts and starting up, I guess, chapter 13. And Paul was a man who knew how to endure hardness, and I'm only going to go into just a little smidgen of his ministry. Paul was called to ministry in Acts 13, by the way, through his local church, and so God spoke to the church's heart. The church separated Paul and Barnabas. That's the biblical order they went through, and God called them into the ministry, and they went into the ministry. And they worked for a little while around there at their home church of Antioch, and then they went into off into the wide world, under a different world back then, slow travel and not knowing every city, and you didn't have AAA and Rand McNow and all that stuff, and it was an adventure. But off they went to preach the gospel. Remember, the gospel had kind of been centered around Israel. Their church was the farthest away, pretty much, was really a good church, was in Antioch, Syria, which was not that far north of Israel, just not far at all. Next country up, which were very small countries, and then it really hadn't been taken around the world as it was commanded to go around the world. And they start their mission trip. They go from Antioch, they go to Seleucia, that's a port city. They get on a ship and they go to the island of Cyprus in the Mediterranean Sea, and they land there, and they go to the city called Salamis, and they preached in a synagogue there and left. They go to the next town, and it's called Paphos. And in Acts 13, people in the first city of Seleucia, they heard him. They heard about him preaching the gospel on this one island, on the other side of the island. It was a big island, but the other side of the island, they heard about it. And they said, some people bring this doctrine from the Jews' religion about the Messiah has come, and he's already come, and he's already actually died and rose from the dead, and words started getting out because they were preaching in the synagogue. The synagogue, by the way, was a church building, for a better term, at that time that the Jews met in. They didn't have a church building, but the Jews would go there on the Sabbath day and read the scripture and talk about it. And so they would go into they would go to the city, and they'd immediately go to the synagogue, and people would be reading the scripture, and anybody who wanted to could usually get up and give their opinion. And so the apostles found that a great place to preach the gospel, and the disciples did that in the early church. As they went to the next city of Paphos, there was a man named Sergius Paulus, who was a governor. And he said, I want to hear this. I want to hear what you have to say. And in verse 6, it says, when they had gone through the Isle of unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, who is Bar-Jesus, which was with a deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who call for Barnabas and Saul and desire to hear the word of the Lord. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name was by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from their faith. So the deputy, that he was a governor, is basically what he was, of this area. He calls him and says, hey, I want to hear what you guys are talking about. He's a very prudent man and a very careful man. He says, tell me what you're talking about. I want to hear about it. And Paul and Barnabas go into town, and they meet this guy, and they're sitting there with him, but sitting there with him was a false prophet. And he said, no, you don't listen to them, and what they're saying is not true, and no, Jesus didn't fulfill the prophecies. And he fought against them and fought against them and fought against them. And this man was trying to hear the gospel. They kept fighting against Paul and Silas, and he was a deputy to this man. He was a servant, a page, a man who was an advisor to him. And finally, Saul says, you know what? I'm tired of this. And Paul said, verse 10, and said, O full of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil. I think I'm a hard preacher. Thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist of a darkness, and he went about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. He's going, and Jesus died, and he did not. That's not true. This is scripture. It's not. And he's arguing. You son of the devil, you go. You're all full of subtlety and Satan. You know what? You're going to be blind for a minute. Also, he goes, I don't see anything. Where am I? And Paul goes, anyway, I just want to tell you about this gospel. I'm ready to listen, man. Whatever you say. And he got saved there. But of course, he had the adversary there from the very start. Off they sail from the island over, and they go to Perga. Along the way, they picked up a man named John Mark, who was the man who wrote the book of Mark. And Mark came along with them, with Paul and Barnabas. They started the ministry, and John Mark joined them. John Mark, when he got to the mainland, said, I'm out of here, guys. I'm not going to do this anymore. It becomes a big problem later, and Barnabas and Paul have contention over, because Paul says, I'm not going to take him with me. He quit on us in the ministry. And they lose one-third of their ministry. He quits. And he leaves them there, and then they go and they begin to start in preaching. They go, next they go to Antioch, and in Asia Minor, a different Antioch, and they go and they preach in the synagogue. And if you look at chapter 13 and verse 14, and when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch and in Pisidia, and went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent to them, saying, ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Wouldn't that be awesome? They go into the synagogue and they read the scriptures, and Paul and Silas, the visitors, and say, hey guys, you have anything to say and add to this discussion? Are you kidding? That's an open door there. And they get up, and he has many words to say. He preaches a whole sermon throughout this chapter about Israel and about Jesus being the Son of God, and preaches it, and preaches salvation, and preaches Jesus dying on the cross and rose again, and preaches the whole gospel. And a bunch of the Gentiles said, whoa, this is the truth, and this is the way to heaven. We want to be saved. And some of the Jews believed, but a bunch of them said, this is wicked and evil. And they all said, let's come back and talk about this next Saturday, next Sabbath. The next Sabbath, the entire city showed up. And it became a huge uproar. And if you go all the way down after a sermon, verse 42, and when the Jews were gone to the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that the words may be preached unto them the next Sabbath. And when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas also, who speaking unto them, persuaded them to continue the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. And spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas, waxing bold, said, it is necessary the word of God should have been spoken unto you, you Jews, because God loves you and said the gospel to you first. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. So with the Lord, we went to the Gentiles. Verse 48, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord is published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and chief men of the city. Notice that. I taught this in my Bible college class. You want to have problems, stir up the women. That's true. Man, when you guys don't like what I say, let's go outside, we'll talk about it, we'll fight for a few minutes, shake hands, come back in and have church. No big deal. Have a problem with the woman? And not with me. It's down my back when I'm not there. Stir up the women, man. You got everybody fighting. And pretty soon you got more little fires to put out. And I mean, women are wonderful, but terrible enemies. They're amazing, wonderful, incredible, beautiful, wonderful, godly things. But boy, when they get stirred up, women, you don't do a... Here's what a woman does. Hey, you ready to go see Susie and Johnny? Susie and Johnny? Yeah, join Susie and Johnny. 6 years ago, Susie went and looked at my son and said, "Get away from me." She did. And she'd been for 6 years. See, the women know this is true and don't want to say because you don't want you to think you're like that. I don't think you're like that. And the men are afraid to say that's right because the women will be like that to them. And but you know I'm right. Women, do not get them stirred up. Women, if you have a problem with somebody, go talk to them. You don't need to talk to 27 different people about it. And everybody doesn't mean something. You hypersensitive women, I think they weren't looking at me right. I think they didn't really... stop. Don't get stirred up. If you have a problem, talk to somebody. But everybody doesn't mean anything. Don't hold grudges. And men, don't let your wife do that if you're married. And they stirred up the women, and then they stirred up the men. And the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. Wait a minute. A bunch of people just got saved. A bunch of people believed. And all of a sudden, the Jews stirred up a bunch of people against them, men and women both. And they got them to hate Paul and Paul and Barnabas, and they kicked them out of the town. Wait a minute. The whole town came to church last week, and now we're kicked out of town. Yep. Welcome to the ministry. Endure hardness, Paul. It's not easy. Can you imagine for a sec? You hear this? Can you imagine if tonight the city of Des Moines and all the leaders came to us tonight and they said, "We don't want open door anymore. The only church around here who goes and stirs up trouble, witnesses the people, get out of our town," and they physically took the police and escorted us and kicked us out of town and said, "You can't meet here anymore." Do you guys know how hurt we would be? That wouldn't be fun. Especially in those days when they physically took them out of town. "We don't hear about that stuff. Get away from us." We don't have that. We don't have that. And yet, they said, "Oh, let's go to another town." American Christians nowadays and preachers nowadays, they go, "You know what? God must have closed the door. I'm going home. I don't know what to do." And they said, "All right, next town." They endured hardness. They went to Iconium. Iconium, many got saved. Chapter 13, verse 52. "And the disciples are filled with joy." That's the verse after they got kicked out. They shook the dust off their feet and came to Iconium. "And the disciples are filled with joy with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in Iconium, they went both together in the synagogue of the Jews and spake. So the great multitude, to shorten it up, Jews and Gentiles both fought against them after many people got saved." See a pattern here? Bunch of people get saved, and then they start getting hard times. Bunch of people get saved, and then they start getting in trouble. The devil's not worried about churches who aren't having people saved. It's the churches who have people saved, and the Christians who witness are the ones who go through the hardest times. If you want God to greatly use you, you know what I pray? "God, use me greatly." Then understand, you were saying, "God, make me a soldier." And the devil says, "Oh, good, I got a target." The rest of them didn't sign up for the army. Most Christians aren't a target because they're not a soldier. They're a spectator. Go, preacher, go. P, give me a P. R, give me an R. Give me an A. A, go, preacher. Yay. That's what they're doing. And the preacher's going, "I ain't going." "What preacher are you talking about?" "I'm not going." And it's a spectator sport. A Christian's supposed to be a soldier. You're supposed to go out there and fighting. And when you decide to go fight and do something, and you start shooting, they shoot back. And the devil shoots back. Do nothing for God, easy life. Do something great for God, you get shot at. Read the history of Christianity. John Wesley started training his preacher boys, and every day he'd come back and they had to give a report card. The report card was how many missiles and projectiles were thrown at you today. That was, they were asked every single day. In America, by the way, and in England, they were real Christians. Real Christians stir up problems. Salt burns sometimes. Light hurts sometimes. The Gentiles and Jews fought against him. Many people got saved, verse 1, verse 2. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. They got a bad reputation. People did not like them. Verse 4, but the multitude of the city was divided, and part held the Jews and part with the apostles. Then was there an assault made, both the Gentiles and also the Jews, with their rulers, to use them despitefully and stone them. The leaders of the city, the bunch of Jews and Gentiles, went and assaulted the disciples and the believers and tried to kill them. It wasn't an easy time. They were aware of it and fled into Lystra and Derbe, the last two cities along this trip. Lycidonia and under the region that lieth round about. They went to Lystra. There was a lame man healed. Praise the Lord. He got healed and he stood upright in his feet and leaped. Verse 10. Awesome. People get saved. Guy gets pulled up on his feet in the new town. And guess what? It was a pagan town and they all said, the gods are come down to us. You're the speaker, so you, and you are the other one, and you must be there. And they started worshiping them. Oh, yeah, and they started bowing down to them. They thought they were Greek gods. Guys, this is not going the way I planned it here. I was supposed to go to town, everybody loved me, I preach the gospel, I got on TV, I got a smiley face, everybody buys my books, everything's great. That's not the way it went. Oh, guys, stop worshiping us. Paul, you must be Mercury, because you're the chief speaker, and Barnabas, you're Jupiter, and we're going to worship you. He said, no, don't do that. And the people were trying to worship them. Then came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, where they just were, and caught up and said, there they are, that's them, they're going to ruin your town, they're evil, and they're rotten, they're filthy, and they're terrible. And the people were just worshiping them. Said, really? They're terrible? They're evil? We're just going to make them gods. And the Jews, of course, said, hey, look, Paul and Barnabas are letting people worship them and say they're gods. They are false prophets. You Jews, go after them. They're false prophets. And twisted everything around. They took Paul, took him outside the city, took stones, threw the stones at him, and killed him. Paul said, I died several times. When you stone somebody, you took rocks. And you can just imagine, I mean, imagine if somebody took you outside town and everybody grabbed rocks and threw them at you till you died. Big rocks bashing your head, breaking your bones, hitting you everywhere, hitting you all over large rocks, and you can't move eventually. They keep throwing rocks at you till they know you're dead. That's what they're supposed to do. That's a hard way to die. And they say, good, he's dead. And they left him there and they went around. And the disciples all gathered around him and said, oh, my soul, the apostle's dead. And Paul stood right up and says, all right, let's go back into town. Endure hardness. Verse 20, howbeit when the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. The next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. After this they preached the gospel in the city, and they went to all this. Think of all the, it doesn't say every little thing they went through. They went 2,400 miles by ship and by foot, and they total. They were gone over a year. And they went through many persecutions and many fights and many criticisms, were mocked and laughed at, and many people got saved. They went back to their home church, reported it, went out for a year and did work and went to Jerusalem and did some other work around there in Israel. And then we joined this, if you go forward, at the end of that time in Acts chapter 15 and verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Would you go to every city? Would you go to the city where they stoned you? And the cities where they beat you? And the cities where they had a tug of war over you? And the cities where they didn't like you? And the cities where they ran you out of town and they shoved you out of town? I mean, let's go back to Des Moines. They just ran us out of town and threatened to throw us in jail if we go back. Let's go back. Let's go back to every city and see how our disciples are doing. He wasn't picking the easy way, folks. He says, let's go back to every single city and check on him, realizing he might get killed in any one of those cities. And he says, let's go back. Paul was not trying to avoid hard times. He was not saying, let's not do this. And guess what happened? Barnabas, let's go back to every single city. Barnabas says, awesome. All right, let's go get John Mark. No. We're not taking John Mark. John Mark quit on us last time when it got hard. I need somebody to stick with me. We need to take John Mark. He went with us, and you know what? He's sorry he quit, and we need to be merciful to him. I'm not taking John Mark. I might be killed again. I need someone I can count on. By the way, next chapter, he needs someone he can count on. Next chapter, he goes and preaches the gospel, and they take him and beat him on the back and throw him in jail. And he had someone who wasn't like John Mark named Silas who would praise God at midnight. If he'd had John Mark probably would have quit on him. He said, no, I'm not going to take him. And Barnabas, his co-worker for all this time, and his friend, close personal friend, says, then I'm leaving you, Paul. And he lost his friend. Hard times. His heart ripped out. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Barnabas left. He had to go get Silas and go on. We would never do that knowing what we would face. That's simple. God closed the door. By the way, missions nowadays does not go to closed countries for the most part because it's closed. Everywhere was closed in the New Testament. Everyone was so afraid. No one would advise someone to go if all of a sudden I came to church and said, folks, God has called me to go to China as a missionary. Most everybody in the world would say, don't do that. You got all those kids. You got a wife. You're in great danger. Don't do that. That's because your life's verse is America 2010. That's the way you think. And like an American, not like a New Testament Christian. Not like Jesus. Jesus left heaven and to go to a very risky place. Matter of fact, as a baby, he had to flee. They had to be taken out of the country because they were trying to be killed. Very dangerous. Serving God, if you really serve God, can be very dangerous. You say, well, not for us. We don't even have to get persecuted. Praise God and be very zealous and enjoy it and use that to your advantage right now. Praise God. Paul knew how to endure. Many Christians do not know how to endure hardness. They would say, I'm not doing that. Listen, if our heater is too high, we're in trouble. We moved church back 45 minutes this morning and moved 5.7 miles away, and we were in trouble. You think it was a rough morning? This morning we had a few issues, didn't we? A few different little issues that weren't exactly like we do things. Oh, Pastor, that was a rough day. Buddy, you don't know rough days. Can I tell you about some rough days I've had? And I haven't had that rough of days. Paul had rough days. Jesus had rough days. Man, I remember when I first went into Chicago and started going into projects, and oh man, different breed of people there. I mean, some wild engines. And we were going to the housing project in Chicago, and it was just war zones. It was terrible. Police didn't go into those places. We were dumb enough to go in. And we went into those places, and I remember I remember one day, and I've told the story a long time ago, Remember one day we went in and Roman used to work at Dunkin' Donuts, and we used to get Ledeo donuts and we'd feed them to the bus kids, and or we'd feed them to college students, whichever got them first, and because they threw away all the donuts and they were day old donuts, and when you're a poor college student, day old donuts aren't too bad, and we'd take these and we get these big clear bags of donuts, and we got a whole bus full of kids. But if you understand, there's no dads in the entire... there's not one dad in one house of the entire projects, and there's 20,000 people there. It is, and it's unruly and chaotic and violent and crazy. And he brought a whole busload of them, and it was 35 minutes from church to the projects. And we were bringing them to church, and it was me and Roman. He was in the bus, and I was in the bus. And I never understood a mob before, but I learned what mobs were. And they all just kind of all of a sudden, you could just feel them getting more and more tense, and all of a sudden they just kind of explode. And I remember we're getting ready to hand out the donuts. And I had a big bag full of donuts, and Rome went at the back to hand out the donuts where all the teenagers were, and I was in the front, and I went to hand out the donuts. And so I said, okay, everybody stay in your seats, we're going to get you a donut. And I grab in the first donut, and I hand it to the first kid. He goes, hey, where's my donut? I want my donut. And all of a sudden, you just felt it getting more and more wild. And you could just, and they started screaming and yelling. All of a sudden, they kind of just lost it as a crowd. I mean, there's, ah! And they literally just jumped on us. Ah! And they wanted our donuts. Give me that donut. That's my donut. Give me that. Why? They started fighting. They started punching me, clawing my eyes. I'm holding this bag of donuts. I just look back and I see Roman just disappear underneath the kids. Well, I got in the flesh. So you ain't getting my stinking donuts. I grabbed that bag. I got a big hug, bear hug, and I started swinging my arms and throwing kids. And they started flying off. And they thought that was fun. We started going aggro, and I'm getting my donuts, and all of a sudden I'm getting up, and a kid's on my back, and I grab this kid, and I found out one kid makes a great weapon. Flies into five of the kids, they go flipping over the seats. I start throwing elbows, I'm whacking kids, elbowing kids, throwing them. We're just going at it. My donut bag, it's not donuts anymore, now it's donut. Because I've squeezed the thing for so long. You're not getting my donuts. I'm swinging kids, throwing kids. We're just going at it. It's a full-fledged fight. They were going nuts. Now my chocolate-filled Bismarck maple bar strawberry speckled donut with all those things mixed together in one big ball. Finally, one kid has a great idea, and he grabs a bottle in the bag underneath me and just rips it out. And all of a sudden, he jumps back and clears in a circle and looks down, and there's a big ball of donut. Now it's about this big. One big ball of nasty donut. Oh, that's nasty. Man, your donuts are nasty. I don't want your donuts. They'll go back to their seats. I said, you're going to eat this donut, kid. And but I thought, oh, my soul. I was scratched up. I was clawed. The church is going to get sued, probably. Kids were all over. They got black eyes and everything else. And the one little nice girl who dressed up in a dress, it was a disaster. That's a bad day. That's a bad day, folks. But you know what? Nothing like his bad days. They can throw donuts at me, and it's not going to kill me. Stones, they do break bones. He just endured. You got to learn that sometimes life is tough when you serve God. Sometimes it's not going to go great. Sometimes people aren't going to be nice to you. Sometimes people at church aren't going to be nice to you. Sometimes it's going to be hard to go to church, and your car is going to have problems. Your finances are going to have problems. People at church won't be nice to you. The pastor is going to preach on you personally. And you know what? You got to be tough to go to church. You'll be tired sometimes. You won't feel like reading your Bible. You'll read your Bible. You won't get anything out of it. And you'll be really tired when you read it. And you know what you do? You endure hardness. And you read it. You'll pray when it's tough. And you'll do what God wants you when it's tough. You'll have people who misunderstand you. And authorities who criticize you. And they're dead wrong. And you still got to obey them. You just need to endure hardness. Be a good soldier. You'll go witnessing. And nobody gets saved. And people will mock you. And be mean to you. And make fun of you. And they will do mean things. And you've got to endure hardness. As a good soldier. You just got to do it. Paul knew how to sacrifice. He knew what was tough. He knew how to endure. By the way, he took Silas and went back to all those cities. And halfway through, the Lord said, go over to Macedonia. And it turned out he went on two more mission trips. And they were way longer and way more dangerous. And he went way through harder things on those next two mission trips. The first one was the easy one. The next two were twice as long and three times as long, and he was beaten up, he was pulled apart, he was lost in the deep, he was persecuted, he had stripes on his back, he had his back laid open, he was scarred from head to toe, and he endured hardness. Whatever happened to Christians being willing to suffer for Jesus? Whatever happened to saying I'm tired or I got things to do, but you know what, I'm going to make God first? Whatever happened to Christians being able to willing to do anything God calls them to do, whether they had dreams, whether they had plans, whether it's not what they wanted to do? Whatever happened to sacrificing for God and being a tough Christian and enduring hardness? The work of God is hard and the devil fights. We are going to do great things and we must get this toughness. I tell you this, this church is going to do great things for God, therefore it's going to get attacked. We're going to do great and mighty things. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. I'll tell you ahead of time, I won't have time if you're thin-skinned. I'm going to preach the devil out of you. I'm going to go and we're going to win souls. We're going to have crazy people come to church. We're going to love everybody and bring all kinds of things. We're going to have people dance in the aisles who don't know where they are. We're going to have all kinds of crazy things that happen regularly at our church. We're going to have all kinds of problems. We're going to have attacks. We're going to have discouraging Sundays. We're going to have all kinds of things go wrong. And if I have to go around and scratch your back all the time, and I have to go say, oh, you poor little thing, this week your VCR is still blinking 12 o'clock. I'm so sorry. What am I going to do? And I have to go and say, oh, you poor thing, at every little thing. And if I forget to smile, you're going to leave the church. And if somebody in church goes and gives you a mean look, you're going to be offended. And if I preach on your sin, you're going to go and stomp out of here. Then go ahead and get it over with now, because it's going to happen. You're around a bunch of humans. And there's no time for that. I just need to know that when they come and they throw us in jail, you'll be with me. Pastor, you're talking about going to jail. You're talking about going. You're talking about going to the mission field and maybe going to a dangerous country. I'm just, you know what? I love God with all my heart. I'm willing to do anything. But you know what? I don't want to go through anything. I just want a nice, comfortable life. Then you don't love God with all your heart. You're an American Christian. And this church is not an American Christian church. We're a real New Testament Christianity. We're ready to do anything for God, and if it means they throw us in jail or lock us up or shoot us, then shoot away. Now, we're looking for that, but we're willing to go whatever Jesus wants us to do. The average church, if it really came down to it, you would have one or two people maybe willing to die for Jesus. They'd all say they would, but they won't even live for him, so they won't die for him. You got to be tough. You got to endure hardness. You got to be able to make it through hard times. To finish the message, I just want to read Paul, what Paul wrote about all this. We read just his first mission trip, not all of them, but go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, Paul a little bit talks about what he felt and what he was going through during this time. And I want you to understand that it wasn't all cake and ice cream for Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 8, watch how he feels during this time. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. We feel like Jesus. We're dying. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. He says, we're going through some hard times, for which we live and are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came upon us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, so we should not trust in ourselves, but in God that raised the dead. He said, we just figured, okay, we're going to die. Let's see how many people can get saved before we die. We had in ourselves the sentences of death. We knew we were going to die. Chapter 11. Again, he's going through these things, and you read about what happened, but in these verses, he tells how he felt. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I more. In labors more abundant. I'm working very hard. By the way, I'm tired, Pastor. I can't come to church. You're going to be guilty before God someday. Good thing your Savior, when he was tired, still lived for you. I'm tired. The athletes don't say that. They keep playing their basketball game. They keep playing even though they're tired. You can't be a little tired for Jesus. Miss a little sleep. Amen. Verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? Speak as a fool. I more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In deaths often. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, saved one. His five times it took me and beat me with 39 stripes on my back. By the way, this wasn't a little padded pillow here. It's a stripe that laid your back open. And he received 39 stripes on his back five different times. He says, verse 25. Thrice was I beaten with rods. So three times he's beaten with rods, not with whips. Once was I stoned. Three times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. He was floating in the ocean for a day and a night. And journeyings often in perils of waters, in peril of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils of false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst. You ever been hungry for Jesus? I'm not talking, boy, pastor preached a little long and I didn't get my dinner in time. I'm talking hungry. That's a hard thing we go through. In weariness and painfulness, watchings, hunger and thirst, fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Beside all those things that are without, that which comes upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? He says, who doesn't get offended and I burn 10 times more because people I knew and loved left me, abandoned me, people I was witnessing to punched me in the face, and people I loved would beat me? He says, nobody could feel more anger and hurt from people than I do. Paul didn't feel this stuff. He just constantly felt good. No, he endured. He felt bad. He hurt bad. He was wounded in every way, and yet he said, I'll keep on going. That's what he did. You endure. We go through all these things. Verse 33, I had to be let out of the window by a barrel. Listen, I have not been in danger that often in my life. I have a few times with donut wars and everything, but not that many times. I was in the projects in what they call favelas in Brazil, and I had my camera, and I was taking some video, and I noticed some guys are watching me because I'm used to watching people, and I saw them watch me and pointing at me, and I think they're going to come and try to take my camera from me at least. And I had been separated from the missionary I was with, and so it was just me, and that's not where Americans go. And I saw them watching me, and I took these are little shacks, and there's little lanes that go everywhere, and I just started winding down a little lane just to get away from those guys. I had no idea where I was going. That's the danger I was in. I'm not really floating in the ocean. And you know what? I should be willing to do that. Very few people. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. We're almost there. He says unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. This is chapter 12, verse 10. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Paul says, you know what? These hard times, I glory in them because they make me die to myself. And you know what? I can't live for the flesh when I'm beaten and got scars all over my back and I've been punched and kicked and laughed at and torn and I'm sitting in the jail with my wounds untreated. I can't really live for the flesh. So thank God for my hard times. Verse 15. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. And in all that, he felt like, I keep loving you guys, and you will not return that love I have for you. That hurts too. It wasn't an easy time. But our memory verse from last week's Acts 20, 24, he says, but none of these things move me. But none of these things move me. Have a bad day, I'll be fine. I'll read a Bible, I'll pray, I'll love God, I'll spend time with Him, I'll love my enemies, I'll do fine. Oh, I had a great day. I'll pray, I'll read my Bible, I'll love my enemies, I'll go to church, I'll pray, I'll be fine. Oh no, God just called me to Timbuktu to be a missionary. Okay, I'll be fine, I'll pray, read a Bible, love God. Nothing's going to move me. Good days, bad days, persecutions, beatings, financial problems, health problems, none of these things move me. I endure hardness, Paul says. Nothing moves me. I know how to be abased, how to abound, how to suffer need, how to suffer hunger. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Philippians 4, 12 and 13. Can you today say that you can endure? Or does the devil do like he does to me sometimes and the littlest thing ruins? Listen, can you endure hardness? Or does every little thing throw you for a loop? Does every little criticism, let alone being stoned, not the kind of stoned you're talking about, rocks thrown at you. Listen, that's real Christianity. And sometimes you do everything God wants you to do, and it's a hard time. And you just go, I'll make it. It's not going to move me. hurts, painful, don't like it. Ugh, I'm not going to be moved. I'm going to endure hardness. Get punched in the face and say, ouch. Can't do anything about it. Ouch. Get kicked and say, ouch. Okay, I'm going to go on. That's being a good Christian. The devil's going to kick you if you want to be a soldier. None of these things move me. Let's pray together. Father, we have pretty committed people at Open Door, Lord, and you know these people are pretty serious about serving you, Father. Father.